From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community, AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
All right, good morning, golfers. Thank you for joining me this morning, and looking forward to having on the program Rob Corcoran. He of Poxibog Golf Club. He was the professional. He's a professional there, and he went out to the 2014 PGA Championship. And he went, and he saw, and although he did not conquer, he did make us all proud. And we have a lot to talk to him about. So we're going to get to our first break. We'll be back in 1 minute. We'll be back with Rob Corcoran. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015. 1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabile has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, welcome back, folks. Pleased to be joined by Rob Corcoran, PGA at Poxibog Golf Course. Rob, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Anthony. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I thought this would be a a great little, you know, we had you before the show, and you had the exhilaration, the excitement of going to your first major, and I thought it would just be, it'd be great to have you afterwards to sort of get, after you've, you know, digested it and decompressed. And I have to ask you before we get into the details of it, your overall thoughts of the experience of the first major.
You know, I tell you what, I mean, it was everything that I expected and a little bit more. I would, a few people had asked me, how was the week? You know, they didn't know kind of what reaction they were going to get, but I just keep saying that it was by far the best week of my life. It was just the culmination of a lot of hard work and, just being out there with all the guys all week, learning a whole bunch and, just signing autographs and hitting golf balls right next to Adam Scott and Rory McIlroy and hitting chip shots next to Tiger Woods and watching how hard these guys work. It was a blast.
What was the thing? I had Rob LeBritz on, Rob, obviously from the local tournaments here, and I had him on recently, and he's been in a couple of majors, the PGAs, and I asked him what he thought. When you go to an experience like that, you know the guys are going to be good. And you have some things, a pretty good idea of things. What struck you the most? What stared back at you the most when being around those guys?
Great question. I ended up getting there a little early, so I got there Saturday night before the tournament. And so me and my caddy, we went out there early Sunday morning, and there were already probably about 15 guys at about 9 in the morning Sunday. And they were just in full grind mode. They were working with their instructors. They had TrackMan out. They had, they were working bunker shots. They were hitting a bunch of chip shots. They were working on their putting as far as, a bunch of different training aids.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing that kind of struck me, well, two of the biggest things were how hard these guys work. I was, the first guy that I saw during the week was a guy named Eduardo Molinari.
Sure.
Who I've kind of, I've followed his career, since his U.S. amateur days.
Mm-hmm.
And, him and his brother, just really terrific golfers on the European tour.
Yep.
So just watching him how hard he was working, and this was only Sunday and Monday, and I had the opportunity to talk with him on the chipping green, and then I saw him on the golf course. Me and my caddy were just walking the back nine, so we walked two holes with him, just kind of picking his brain about preparation and this and that. But and it was funny because we were kind of on the same schedule the whole week, and he actually played right in front of me come Thursday and Friday. So I left the golf course, and I was pretty fatigued, and I looked at him, and he was just bright red from just absolutely giving it 110% for that whole day. I would get there at 8:30, eat a little breakfast, put the suntan lotion on, head to the driving range.
Right.
And he was already there and working hard. And then when I was leaving and I was putting the shoes in the locker, he was just getting in from his day, from putting in all of his work. And that was huge. That was a big eye-opener just to see how great these guys are, how hard they work on their golf games. If I were to speculate, he probably hit, between Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, probably close to 500 drivers.
Oh, my
and
God.
That's not counting the pitches. That's not counting iron shots. He was working hard with Sean Foley out there on one of the days and, just working on that long game, trying to drive the ball further and straighter. And the other big thing is, well, everybody knows that these guys hit it a long way.
Right.
But they swing at it between 90 and 100% of their effort. They don't lay off of it at all. They are going at whether it's a 9-iron, whether it's a 6-iron, whether it's a driver, they're absolutely trying to move that golf ball as far as they can, closer to the hole, every swing. And they're very comfortable doing that. You know, they know where the ball is going to go. They know that they need to, you know, they feel a lot more comfortable when they have an 8-iron in as opposed to a 6-iron. So off of the tee, they're getting ready to do that. They're picking their lines and their practice rounds, and then they're going out and trying to absolutely smash the golf ball. And, for my own game, I play a little bit more conservative. I kind of slow it down to kind of get it in play. I take a little bit more club to kind of feel the distance and have a little bit more control over the golf ball. But those are the two biggest things that I saw, just how hard these guys are working and how hard they're going at the golf ball.
And I saw you saw a nice picture of you and my man Phil Mickelson. That must have been a nice little treat and amongst rubbing shoulders with some of those guys.
That was great. Yeah, Phil was coming out of one of the Callaway Tour van, and I was in there just kind of working with the guys to get a backup putter. And he was, asking a bunch of questions as far as the, what shafts work with which clubs and, what the different kick points are and the gram weights on the shaft and how that's going to affect this. And so it was just cool to be in there and be able to, like, listen to all this. And then I kind of bullwhipped him and I say, hey, Phil, you mind a quick picture? So that's the picture there. And then we were actually, as luck would have it, we were hitting balls right next to each other, about 30 minutes later.
So you were basically for a little while there, a fly on the wall when Phil's in full tinker mode and going mad scientist in the truck.
Exactly. Yeah, it was, him and his caddy Bones were in there and, they were telling these guys exactly what they were looking for, and they were like, well, we could do this, and that would do this, and, oh, okay, yeah, okay, let's do that, let's try that. So, yeah, it was pretty cool, man, pretty cool.
They treat you guys, this is something that you're not used to being having available to you, and word that I got was that they really, the equipment trucks really treated the professionals like one of the tour players.
Well, absolutely. I mean, they're there to make sure that their players that are on their staff are well taken care of. It.
Yeah.
The TaylorMade guys were really good to me. The Titleist guy, Scotty Cameron, tour rep.
Mm-hmm.
Was really, really good to me. I got a chance to talk with Bob Vokey because I use Vokey wedges.
Right.
And, you know, he picked up my wedges out of my bag, and I have a little bit of a grind on the heel that I put on. Mm-hmm. And he looked at it, he goes, boy, I really like that. He goes, you know, he goes, was the heel catching a little bit? I said, yeah, exactly. He goes, you know, we've worked on that wedge, and we've kind of reshaped the heel. You know, let me have you try this. And it was a different kind of grind, and he was able to hand grind it for me. So I got to hit it. I was like, that's amazing. So he was,
wow.
I had probably about a 20-30 minute conversation with Bob Vokey about just wedges, you know, and I told him, you know, this is what I do. I teach golf for a living. And, you know, how much do you describe bounce to, you know, your customers or just people trying to learn the game? And he said, well, you know, first and foremost, you know, you got to tell them the story of how bounce was kind of introduced. And I said, well, how was it introduced? He said, as I heard the story, Gene Sarazen was just chilling on a park bench, and he was just kind of feeding the birds, and he saw a duck coming in, and the duck landed, and he kind of put his butt on the water first, and then he kind of, you know, just kind of laid down on the water, and it was just such a smooth landing. So he said, I wonder if that would work for golf, if we had something in back of the leading edge. So apparently he soldered up a little bit of bounce on the sole of the wedge, and off the off he went.
That's a pretty funny story. We don't know the validity of that story, but that's a great story.
Sure.
I'll do my best to perpetuate that one. That's a great story. We're gonna get to a first break. More with Rob Corcoran and about the 2014 PGA Championship. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Terry Landscaping is an award-winning designing, building, landscape firm serving Long Island for over two decades. Located in Brightwaters, we are owner-operated and proud of the superb relationships we maintain with our customers. The services we provide will ensure that all phases of your project will be completed to your satisfaction. Contact us at 631-968-4882. That's 631-968-4882 to learn more about how we can transform your property into something of beauty and lasting value.
It's here at last, golf season. South Shore Golf in Oakdale presents Mega Demo Day on Monday, June 13th, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Timber Point Golf Course. You'll have the opportunity to hit new clubs for 2011, TaylorMade, Ping, Titleist, Cobra, Mizuno, Callaway, and Nike. Make sure you get down here for your chance to win a brand new TaylorMade R11 driver. Whether you play golf or you're just learning, how about getting fit for clubs by their professional and certified staff? Also, a PGA trade-in value for used clubs to be applied for new products, so bring those old clubs down. South Shore Golf also specializes in golf club repair, regripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east? How about a quick and easy stop for all your golf needs? Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. On the line is PGA professional at Poxibog Golf Center, Rob Corcoran, and you can check them out at poxgolf.com. And Poxibog is actually celebrating their 50th anniversary this summer. Rob, we spoke last time about how getting prepared for the PGA and the course itself, playing about 7,400 yards, which was, we knew that was going to be it was going to be all that you could handle. And then, of course, Mother Nature throws a little rain on it, and now you have a course that's playing fairly long, even longer. So, you know, how did it change your frame of reference in terms of how your strategy?
Well, you know, just watching my scores, apparently I didn't attack it too well.
Well,
as far as my game,
you got to remember, you teach golf for a living. You know, you're not right. You're not Phil Mickelson walking in there. You're a guy who's helping me out on the range, right, in your majority of your time.
The benefit of my distance, I felt, was that I could hit driver a couple of times in that round where some of the longer hitters were laying back with either three wood or rescue.
Uh-huh.
So there were a few holes. There was the fourth hole where it was kind of a shorter club,
right?
Or a shorter hole. It was only about 370, but it was about 270 over the bunker and about 285 into the right bunker. And I said, you know what? That's perfect. I could hit a good driver there, and I could go into my strength, which is right around 100 yards. So,
right.
You know, I said that, okay, I could do that there. And then on the sixth hole is a hard dog leg right. A lot of guys were laying back with their three wood, which put them into that kind of 225, 230 range. I felt like I could hit driver before the fairway runs out, and I could get probably about a 200-yard club
sure.
in my hands. And then the 12th hole was about a 308 to run out, and I said, you know, I don't hit a 308, so I could hit driver there too. When all these other, and that would leave me about 155 in.
Right.
So I was, just kind of going through the game plan with my caddy, and I said, I understand that this golf course is really long, but I tell you what, a couple of holes, I might have the benefit here. And if I could just kind of hang on with the other ones,
right?
I might be able to kind of do something. So as it turns out, I drove the ball. I stuck to my game plan really, really well. But the take for example like the 16th hole. It's a 508 yard par four, and I hit my Sunday best. I think probably on Monday in the practice round, I hit it about 303 off the tee, which still left me 205 in, which is either my 5-iron or my 4-iron.
Right.
Well, Rory hit 8-iron on Sunday and 9-iron on Saturday in there.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, we're playing same D-box.
Right,
like,
right.
Oh, my goodness. Like, you know, there's no way. You know, I could have hit an 8-iron, but I still would have had a, 60-yard wedge shot. So
right.
It was, it was a big eye-opening experience for sure. How far these guys could hit the golf ball.
What did you learn the most about your own game in terms of from the experience?
The biggest thing is that the only downside about this week that I left out of there is that I've really neglected my fitness. I work out pretty hard during the winter, and I work with strength coaches, try to create speed and stability and mobility. And then once basically May 15th or June 1st hits, I start teaching full-time.
Right.
And something's kind of got to give. And, there's just not enough hours in the day. So, as far as being able to have that little extra gear to go, to just hit that drive just a little bit harder,
mm-hmm.
I go the other way. I try to hit it harder, and it goes more sideways.
Right, right.
So that was a little bit of the only downside. So, the last two mornings I've gotten up at 6 in the morning and I started doing my workouts again.
What do you think is going to your students are going to benefit the most from your experience at the PGA?
Well, I tell you what, I mean, it's just, just being able to kind of see, like I alluded to in our last interview, just kind of being inside the ropes and seeing exactly how these guys are playing golf, what they're doing that makes them, so good at this game when there's so many millions of people playing it. And, why are these guys the top 100 players? And when you're chipping balls next to Phil Mickelson and you're seeing firsthand how he's hitting that shot off of that exact lie and what he's doing, I think that I'm able to bring that back to my students and say, listen, I'm not guessing with this. This is what I saw Phil Mickelson do. This is how I perceived it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try to kind of emulate him. He's got a pretty decent short game.
Yeah, I'd say. Now, did you stick around? I know, you didn't make the cut, but did you stay around for the weekend or did you have to get back right to the lesson tee?
No, I actually, I've been working with my caddy that was with me all week. He's getting ready for European Q School coming up in a couple of weeks. So we got off the golf course at about 8:30 Friday night, and my folks were following me, and we bolted out of there. It was almost pitch dark, so we left out of there, and then I came back in the morning on Saturday to clear out the locker and just kind of hang around, and went over to the range and
mm-hmm.
just kind of messed around with that. But me and my caddy, my buddy, we ended up going and playing Saturday afternoon, and we actually played another round on Sunday afternoon. at another private club down in Louisville, and then off-site of Valhalla, obviously, and then jumped on a plane Monday morning.
Pretty exciting tournament, and to say the least. Now, you've seen world number one pretty much up close, Rory McIlroy. Your impressions of the kid just from being around there?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, just I was going to one of the tour vans, and he was right in the middle of the range. So I stopped. I said, you know, I have to see this. So I'm probably 10 feet away from watching him just hit 9 irons, 8 irons, and drivers. And what I was amazed with most is that, you know, most people are on the driving range and they're trying to kill the ball. He actually swings it harder on the golf course. He was just kind of taking it easy and just kind of just hitting, you know, normal kind of stock shots. And then when he gets on the golf course, he absolutely murders the golf ball. But as far as just the rhythm and the sequence and the flow of which he swings the golf club, it's there's no wonder why he's world's number one right now. I mean, he's just doing everything the way that it should be.
Tremendous stuff. I was just going to say, we'll take maybe one more. Let me take one more break, and then we'll come back. We'll wrap things up, if you don't mind, Rob. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
ABC 123 Golf. ABC 123 Golf is a summer program developed by Mike Wade, PGA. ABC 123 Golf offers instruction, practice, and play activities designed to give juniors the necessary knowledge and experience to become lifelong golfers. Improving the playing ability of the junior golfer is our primary objective. In addition, ABC 123 Golf stresses the concept of total youth development throughout the program. Please visit abc123golf.net or call us at 516-385-9294. That's 516-385-9294.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. On the line is PGA professional at Paxabaugh Golf Center, Rob Corcoran, who just returned from the 2014 PGA Championship. One hell of a tournament to make your first maiden voyage in the PGA, in the Tour Majors. Rob, your favorite moment in since you arrived there and to the day you left, you know, what was maybe your favorite moment that happened?
It lasted about 3 hours. I ended up playing a practice round the front nine with Jim Furyk.
Wow!
So that was a blast. My caddy played college golf, not with him but against him.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was at Arizona, my caddy was at UCLA, so they got to play a little bit together. So he set it up, and just going out there with Fluff and Jim, and you know, for 3 hours, I got to pick one of the greatest players of all time, brain of how he likes to prepare for major championships, how he likes to play his practice rounds, what he likes to do on his off time and his off season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a huge Steelers fan.
Yeah.
You know, what he thinks of, you know, what's his hopes and dreams on becoming a Ryder Cup captain? What's the experience on playing in a Ryder Cup? So, I mean, you know, when will I ever have an opportunity to do that?
Right.
So, that was fabulous.
And he seems like a pretty, you know, pretty down the earth. You know, we're all insulated as fans, so we don't really kind of know. I mean, you kind of get a little hint of it here and there about certain guys, but yeah, he seems like a pretty accessible guy and a pretty giving guy with his time, at least a fellow a PGA professional like yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, his dad was a longtime PGA pro, and
yeah.
You know, he was very supportive. He knows the role that we play in mm-hmm. golf, and he was he's excited to have us out there, you know. I mean, and
yeah.
And he could not have been any nicer. You know, every question that I asked him, he's probably, you know, given those answers a bunch of times, but you know, he just gave me full answers. He was he was asking what I do, you know, like it was just a terrific experience.
I can't imagine that you know, anything, what an experience something like that would be. The only thing that I could think about for that experience with Jim would be having for the 3 hours just watch that pre-shot routine. It could be a little brutal sometimes with his you know, he takes a lot of time over the ball, you know.
Yeah, he sped it up big time in the practice round. I mean,
okay.
he goes through the same thing. I mean,
right.
you know, he kind of gets in there a little close to the target line.
Right.
He picks out an intermediate target. He lines the club face up with that. He gets his grip. He gets the stance. And, you know, I mean, this guy is top 10 player in the world. He's been for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unbelievable the comfort level that he's at, you know, even over a 4 or 5 iron. I mean, obviously it was a Tuesday, but,
right.
you know, I get over an 8 iron like he gets over a 4 or 5 iron, you know, like
right.
he knows where the ball's going.
Sure.
And he's never trying to hit the ball any harder. He's not trying to hit the ball any further. He's not trying to over-curve it. He takes just kind of normal lines that he always would, and you know, he hits the ball straight up in the air and stops it on a dime. It's pretty amazing to see.
What would be one thing you think that you would definitely like the first thing that you thought, like, if I, you know, next year or whatever, next time I do this again, this is what I'm going to do differently.
The big thing is that, you know, hopefully, I mean, I've already gotten to work in terms of trying to get there next year. So, you know, with that in mind, I would just be more prepared, you know, just kind of maybe cut back my teaching schedule just a tiny bit, hit a few more golf balls leading into that. And, you know, like I said, never neglect my fitness so that, you know, I'm going there and hitting on all cylinders. You know, these guys go into the week and they're physically fit. They have good nutrition. Their equipment is dialed in. They've checked off all the boxes.
Sure.
And they're going there and they're just preparing. And then they just go out and they play good golf. And, you know, playing with Pat Perez and Brendan Steele, these guys were both, first and foremost, they were both great guys. They were awesome to me and awesome to my caddy. But they were on the cut line pretty much from start to finish. And what I saw is that they never got guidey with their swings. They never tried to... you know, just kind of take, you know, take the fat side of the green. They just hit golf shots, and it was either going to go their way or wasn't going to go their way. And as it turns out, they both made the cut, which was terrific to see.
Yeah, Pat Perez, he's a little New York-y, if you will. He's got a little New York attitude, you know.
Yeah, he's fiery out there, no doubt about it. He plays with his heart on his sleeve, and. And it's great, but, you know, he's into it. He's really excited, you know, and I said, all the club pros, you know, we're not used to this. We're walking around on pins and needles. He goes, Robbie, you got to remember that this is fun. You got to have fun out here. And I said, absolutely, great advice. But, yeah, absolutely, you know, the one thing that Pat Perez, you know, everybody remembers seeing him at Pebble Beach. Everybody, you know, kind of sees the fiery side of him. But he never brings that anger or that hostility, that rushed attitude to the next ball.
Yeah.
When he gets over the next shot, the last shot is completely forgotten, and he's giving it 110% to get the ball close to the hole on that particular shot. He never, you know, strings bad attitude or frustration together. He lets it go in his own way, moves to the next shot, goes through his routine, and what I saw, he hits a lot of good shots after he does that. So it works for him.
It's that's a good lesson for all levels right there. Not compounding the mistake, one mistake into another. Rob, I can't thank you enough for being on the show. I really appreciate your insights into the PGA Tour, and a major nonetheless. And all the best to you and the rest of the summer.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. It's been my pleasure.
Thanks, Rob. All right, that was Rob Corcoran, PGA professional at Poxibod Golf Center. Thank you for joining me for another great week. I hope you learned a lot. That was a fun little interview to get behind the scenes of a PGA major and to talk to Rob. And we wish him all the best. Such a nice guy. And we're sure he'll be back, hopefully sooner than later. That's it for this week. We'll join you next week. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorcher.
Did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.